Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time now for NFL Sunday. It's a special NFL Sunday on a Monday night. Broadcasting from the best yet private brand studio.
With Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins. Alongside Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group. The personal injury pros at KetchesLaw.com. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. Sudi. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Sudi.com for details. And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers.
NFL Sunday.
With Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keefe on WEEI.
Well, batten down the hatches, because apparently in Buffalo, New York, everything that isn't nailed down is flying around as we get ready for Monday Night Football, where the Patriots head to Buffalo to take on the Buffalo Bills. Wiggy is here. Keefe is here. Chicken Wing Fourier is here after having gotten cut on.
Yeah.
Trying to grind it out a little
Playing
bit.
Hurt today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Y'all he was great. Right? All week. Who's responsible for putting my headphones on and off?
I think
that's a shine.
You, I saw you watch it. It was a struggle.
I laughed. It was joyous. If it were me and I was doing the same thing, wouldn't you be sitting over there giggling? You would be like,
the first time. The first time. And then I'd help you. It's pathetic now. Come on. I got to help you out.
I think your other arm's responsible for doing that.
So apparently everything is blown around in Buffalo. It
doesn't look too bad right now.
Wind gusts 46 miles an hour, sustained at 24. It's a 34 degrees at game time, mostly cloudy with flurries.
There was a video.
There's
Gunner,
your weather with Al right there.
There you go. Thank you. Al Roker, ladies and gentlemen. Mark McEwen in here with us. But
Al Caprillion.
Al Caprillion. Sorry, I forgot New Hampshire piece. They showed Gunnar Olszewski on a video on Twitter standing kind of like near one of the hash marks, and he threw a ball up in the air and was trying to catch it, and it blew off to the sideline. He couldn't even hunt the thing down.
No, but I'm watching the pregame. It doesn't look that bad, does it?
No, right now
it looked hectic at first, but it doesn't. If it stays like this, we're fine.
Does it affect the kicking game the most? If it's like, because it seems like the flags up top were the ones that were really going crazy, and so when the ball's up in the air that high, is that where it's affected?
Yeah,
the most?
I think obviously the punting game and then the field goal game will affect it, you know, with the quarterbacks, you think it's going to be a lot of short to intermediate throws, so the ball's going to move on you, and you as a receiver, you just got almost like trying to catch a knuckleball.
I'm glad you said that. Can you describe what it is like to try to catch footballs in wind like this? So you use the analogy. It's really like trying to catch a knuckleball.
Yeah, it'll move on you, like whether it's side to side, you know, up and down a little bit. So as a receiver, you know, you just have to kind of stay focused. The hardest part is kind of throwing it through all that stuff, you know, as a quarterback, being able to lead and figure out where the wind is, knowing how the wind operates. So maybe you got to throw it a little bit earlier because you know the wind's going to take it. So I think the quarterbacks are going to have especially like Christian said, if it stays like that, there's no real rain or snow. It's just, you know, because
I never bothered. I never, the snow was not a big deal. You know, rain was, you know, could have its issues, but the wind, judging the ball, was always drove me crazy based on just how it left his hand and how it ended up getting to me. Like, did the wind force it to be behind me? Did the defensive back get a nice little opportunistic, you know, interception because the ball just died, or it just all of a sudden it dropped? And then I was ready for it one way, and next thing you know, I'm dropping it. I'm wide open, but I couldn't handle just the overall movement of it.
Can stronger arm quarterbacks have a difference Like, so, for example, I think most people say Josh Allen can throw the ball harder than Mac Jones can. Mm. Like, in the wind, does it mess them both up, or does one have an advantage?
No, I would think the guy with the strong arm has
can
the advantage.
Get through there a little
bit,
right?
You know, can kind of, you know, put more zip on the football and get it through there. I think the passes that, at least the ones that I feel like you have a little bit more trouble with, are the floaters, the touch passes. So that might hurt Mac Jones in a little bit because he's more of a touch pass. You know, like those, you've seen him throw those nice touch pass floaters. Those things, forget about. The wind can take those things. The next thing you know, it's like a hot air balloon.
But are we assuming that they're going to, each team is going to completely change their game plan based on the weather?
No.
No, they'll alter it significantly, but they're not going to bail. Like, this isn't going to be a game where each team runs the ball 60
times.
Yeah,
but I also think if it's 4th and 4 and you can kick a 45-yard field goal, probably not.
Well, I heard you, you might go for it on 4th down, but I heard you say this earlier on your show, Rich, and I completely agree with you. I said that on the Greg Hill show. I think this weather favors New England.
Definitely.
Because when you look at Buffalo, their offense is built more of we're a pass first team, run second. New England is a run first, pass second, and when we pass the football, we're kind of like a dink and dunk check down. So this plays more into Mac Jones's hands because he's not worried about putting the ball downfield like to a Stephon Diggs and what Buffalo likes to do. So when I completely agree with you. I think this is the perfect weather game.
Yeah, the Bills can't run the ball. I mean, Josh Allen's their best running back. And it's like, how much do you want to do that?
And even though Buffalo has a better rushing yardage per game, their offense, New England's offense, is still built running then passing.
So I want to ask a complimentary question off of that to Fourier, and it's about route running. The Patriots have wide receivers who are not really used to playing in this either, but I know both of you guys talked about how the ball will kind of move around a little bit. Is it still imperative even in the wind to run? Like, do you alter the routes at all because of the wind? You shorten them up a little bit. Like, I wonder about the Patriots receivers. So they just have to go do their job and wait for the quarterback to get them the ball?
I would say that the only person who really has control, you can't alter your depth of your route, the timing of the route. Then you're just asking for trouble. Because, I mean, like, with Brady, with any quarterback I've ever been with, we've never changed the way we run the route. They just call different routes. Like, we're just going to call routes that can't convert, that don't go deep, that are easily for you to hit, crossing patterns, quick turnarounds, you know, stuff, something like that. Those deep, you know, outside the numbers comebacks where the ball's going to float and you really have to drive it through the wind, probably not going to throw those.
Okay.
Like, probably not going to do that. The fade routes into the end zone, which they don't do anyways, probably not going to do that. Any like, sort of basic cross where you could sit there and just grip it and just drive it and throw it as hard as you can, those are on board.
But throws to the backs might be a little sketchy tonight.
Well,
those throws to the flat,
Whale routes we see. You know, like the little whale route, and Christian's right, the fade route, those throws, because the ball, you need to put touch in, it floats, and that's when the wind can really take advantage of it. But Christian's right. Route running, the only time you're really affected by route running is when the field conditions are not very good. But nowadays with all this,
like,
you know,
a snowball game.
Yeah, but now, but even with, yeah, it's snowball, but nowadays with all the field turf.
Yeah, none of it's bad.
Yeah, none of it is really bad. The only fields that are actually bad are, like, I played in Pittsburgh because they got grass, and that field always gets torn up. Mm-hmm. So it's those natural grass places, but this rubbery field turf that you see that Buffalo has, you know, it's not going to be slippery like that. It's going to be, you'll have good footing.
They showed the countdown crew. Yeah, they all stood up for a second, and all their note cards just went everywhere.
But it was pretty calm, and then a big gust came by. And those are the issues where you look at, okay, Gresh was talking about kicking game. Okay, Jake Bailey, Nick Folk, those guys. Okay.
Like, it looks good right now, but nope.
Yeah, but it is pretty windy. Look at this.
Mac Jones is wearing one of those.
Is that him?
Looks like he's about to rob a bank. He's wearing one of those face masks.
Well, look how his, like, pocker is really blowing in the wind.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is one of those, do I wear one glove, do I wear two gloves, do I wear no gloves?
Well, isn't that an issue with him, though?
Yeah, I think so.
As far as what is he going to do? Is he going to commit to wearing a glove? And how much?
Then, like, this series he has one on.
If you have a hand warmer,
should be good.
And you're a quarterback, okay, and you're not under center, your basically hands are coming out for what, 5 seconds? Like, this, is it even enough for you to recognize that your hands are cold?
They're right back in there.
Right.
Yeah, he's going no gloves, by the way. For people wondering, in his warm-ups, he's going no gloves.
Well, I think the glove thing, you have to probably get used to throwing it.
Probably practice with that. Yeah.
Right, but even though if you practice in 1 week, do you still feel comfortable? You know, I remember as, you know, and I don't know what Christian did, but when the weather would get bad, right, I would take my gloves off, but there were times that I didn't wear gloves at all, so I was kind of used to it versus somebody who's always wearing, like Mac Jones is always throwing the football without gloves. Now to wear a glove for that game,
right.
I don't know if he's going to be able to get adjusted to it. And then you'll see him start with it and take it off.
That's
then,
what you know is a real
Josh
problem.
Josh Allen, like, this is like heaven for him.
He's loving
Wyoming
this.
Right. Guy. Josh Allen, he's like, oh, this is the ball. Nothing.
Well, you know, that kind of gets
like
us.
September in Wyoming.
Right. Well, but that gets us to not only the circumstances in which this game is going to be played, but also with the Patriots as the number one seed, is this game bigger for the Bills or the Patriots? And Michael Irvin joined Gresham Keefe last week, and we asked him that question.
Do you go to right now? When you saying the Bills haven't had a chance and hadn't been on top forever, so it must be bigger than them, or do you go to yesterday and yesteryear where you're saying this is the Patriots putting the luster back on back on who they are? That's just a fascinating call. If I answered the question, I would have to say it's bigger for the team that hadn't been there in ever. That's what I'm talking about. But I would say, probably the team that haven't been there forever in Buffalo. But in this sense, it's bigger for the Patriots because Buffalo thought they had a clear run for the next 5, 6, 7 years, at least until the Patriots get back on track. And now Buffalo, they're realizing, man, that was a quick 5, 6, 7 year run.
So I'm a big Michael Irvin fan, but he was trying to find the answer there. He was searching for the answer.
Luster. Put some luster on your answer.
But with this environment tonight, it's Bills, isn't it?
It's 100% Bills. Yeah. Even if it was a sunny day, I would say it's the Buffalo Bills. It is definitely the Buffalo Bills because they are at home. They are the team that won the division last year. They have the more experienced quarterback. They have the guy who was runner-up in the MVP. They were one of the preseason favorites to go to the Super Bowl this year. And they're right there. And the Patriots are the ones that are surprising everybody, being 8-4 and in a position to be the top seed. The Bills are supposed to be here. They're supposed to be this one of the next teams along with the Chiefs. If they lose this game, they're 7-5. They're tied with Cincinnati and the Chargers, and they're 2 full games, really 3 with the tiebreaker, behind the New England Patriots. So I think it's 100% a bigger game for the Bills.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. Like, I felt like he was getting to what I kind of liked hearing him say when it came to, oh, woe is me, I'm the Bills, and look at us, we thought we had this big window. Because I went back to last year's recap when the Bills beat the Patriots 38-9. Okay, and the first sentence is the Buffalo Bills put a cherry atop the changing of the guard in the AFC East.
Yeah,
put a cherry atop the changing of the guard.
That was in the locker. Back again.
So if the changing of the guard happened so quickly, and hey, wait, what do you mean?
Right.
Like we're in charge here. We're the lead dog. I thought they were going to suck for 4 years. How did they get so good so quickly?
Mm-hmm.
So now they're sitting there, and I do think there's this disrespect, little brother, you know, thought they had their day. They beat their big brother one time in horse, but really the big brother was just letting him win.
Yeah,
because mom said, listen, you know, his self esteem is really low.
Give him one game.
You know, and it's like, fine. No, okay, it's time to take it back.
Right, that's what it feels like.
But I almost look at it though, because I'm looking at it from the playoff standpoint. So this game to me, from the playoff standpoint, is bigger for New England. Because I was looking at the tiebreakers, and so the tiebreaker is head-to-head and then division. So when you look at where the Buffalo Bills are in the division, they're 3-0, you're 2-1. You lose tonight against them. Now you are 2 games behind them, and you have them left, and then you have the Miami Dolphins. They only have you left in the Jets, and we know how Miami's starting to play a little bit. So now you really have no room for error.
So if you split, there's a good chance they're going to have the division tiebreaker, to your point. Now, Buffalo also plays the Tampa Bay Bucks next week.
Well, if you split.
So just as another loss is what I'm talking about, because right now they both have 4 losses.
So if
you split, they both have, both teams have 5 losses.
Right.
And then it's a matter of, all right, if both teams then went out, the advantage would go to the Bills. But the Bills play the Bucks. They have the toughest other game remaining.
And they play them next week, short
on the road.
Week on the road. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, if you're just talking about, you know, whoever has a better chance at the number one overall seed, mm-hmm. I guess you could say Patriots. But the same argument could be made for Buffalo. Because the number one seed's up for grabs. Kansas yes. City's in the mix. Oh, yeah, Baltimore's yeah, yeah. in the mix. Buffalo's in the mix. But if they lose that one, not only do they lose out on likely the number one seed, but it's the whole thing we were talking about, how they were supposed to pass by. There was this changing of the guard, passing of the torch. Yep. That didn't happen. Like it
did.
Like, did it, second. Though? They made the conference championship game. Yeah. Like, okay, great.
I do
like
think
the, I know the Colts hung a banner for making the AFC true. Championship game mm-hmm. a few years ago, but normally that's not really looked upon as the most successful season. So I think there's still more at stake for them. They're the ones that have the all-pro quarterback. Right. They're the one. Hell, they're at home and they're favored. They're the Vegas favorite in the game tonight,
well,
too.
And, Rich, I did to your point, I did that early in the week. I went to division. So let's say their record stays the same in the division. Then the next thing that they do is they go to common opponents, right? So when you look at the common opponents right now, the Patriots are they are 6-3 when it comes to common opponents.
Okay.
Where Buffalo is 5-3. And you have three games left, and the common opponents that you have left is Colts, Jacksonville, and Miami. So pretty.
Yeah, the Colts is a big game, too, for the Pats.
Right, the Colts is a big game. And they have four games left, and their four games are obviously when you look at the common opponent for the Bills. There's the Jets, Falcons, Panthers, and Bucks.
Yeah, they're probably going to go 3-1 there.
Right.
You know.
And then after that, it goes to conference. That's where you have the edge.
Yeah.
If you look at their conference record, I think the Patriots right now in the conference, they are real. They're
6-1. I got it right here.
6-1. Yeah.
Yeah, they're
and
rolling.
The Bills, and the Bills have already got four losses.
5-4.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So the Patriots. It's funny. They have great. Their tiebreakers with everybody else in the AFC mm-hmm. is definitely in favor of them. But when it comes to the Bills, they probably have to sweep them.
Right.
You know?
Because that's kind of where we are now, right now, when we look at this football game. Isn't it about the importance of this game for you and whether or not you become the 1 seed, 2 seed, or let's even call it the 3 seed, or even the 4 seed versus
the 5 seed.
The five seed.
There's part of that, but I also think, don't you think expectation going into the season plays a little bit of a role? Whereas the Bills, the expectation was Super Bowl. The
yep.
Patriots, it was, ooh, if they make a wild card team, they could be frisky and that'd be fun. And that'd be a nice year of development.
Yeah, so I think for me, it's getting the number one seed. Like the position that you found yourself in, thank you, Baltimore Ravens,
right.
the fact that now you're the number one seed. But I do think they have to run the table in order to keep the number one seed. I don't think the Tennessee Titans are going to lose another game. Maybe they do, but based on who they have left to play,
they have
four games.
Schedule.
Four games and an easy schedule, and they're getting healthy again. And I think they took a couple losses they don't think they really deserved. So in order for you to be the number one seed and host and have a bye, you got to go undefeated. Now, can they win? That would be 11 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
11 games in a row. Or if you break it up, well, this is why I like the way their schedule is.
Well, they got the bye,
because if
right.
you break it up, so listen, one more game, guys, it's a four-game season.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Colts, you got Buffalo again, and then you got Jacksonville, and you got Miami that I can easily see being the turd in the punch bowl. Well, listen, if Mike Glennon gets a concussion, and then you should be able to win too. So I do think that to me is what you're playing for.
For you, off what you said, here's the Tennessee schedule. They're on the bye. Then they play Jacksonville. Then they play Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
That is not as easy as once thought.
And without Derrick Henry, I think the Titans are cooked.
Right. And then the following week is even another.
Short week, San Francisco on a Thursday night short week.
That's not a layup.
Then they play the Dolphins on January 2nd.
Oh, it's tougher than I thought.
It is tougher than I thought. And then they're at Houston.
Okay, that's the one I remember.
Because you saw Houston and Jacksonville. No, that's
Jacksonville,
what it was.
That's the one I remember.
Top and bottom.
Yeah,
wait, was that five games? Is that five?
That's five. Yeah.
That's their scheduled sandwich there where the bread is really.
No, it isn't. It isn't as easy as I thought it was going
to
be.
But the meat and cheese in that sandwich is better than you think.
I think without Derrick Henry, they're a completely different team.
See, I saw Houston and Jacksonville.
Yeah, layups.
But see, I think a lot of people looked at their schedule and go, oh, okay, they only have two teams remaining that have a winning record. But then what people tend to forget is that Tennessee lost Derrick Henry.
Yes.
And A.J.
Brown and Julio have been hurt all year.
Yeah, right. He's on IR. So when is he coming back? When is he eligible for his – it's 3 weeks, so.
I think Brown has one more week before he's eligible. And today, Julio Jones was designated to return from practice, but I don't think there's been the official elevation off of IR.
And so, he hasn't been right.
So let's say A.J. Brown has one more to go to sit out.
Fair.
That would be the Bucs game, correct?
No.
No, that would be for Tennessee. It would be that Jacksonville game.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So his first game back would be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It would be the Pittsburgh game, yep.
And at Pittsburgh, who knows where he is?
I think those are three toss-up games, honestly. Right. The they're not gonna, I don't think they'll win out. Maybe they go 4-1. Tennessee, I don't think they will. I think because San Francisco's fighting for a playoff spot.
Right.
Miami decided to play good all of a sudden.
Pittsburgh's
fighting for a playoff spot. So I think they probably lose at least one of those games.
And we know Baltimore's schedule is hard.
Baltimore stuff is real tough. And so, they just lost Humphrey.
I feel like we're trending towards Kansas City.
Yes.
As being the team that just was flying under the radar.
The whole time.
Yeah. Oh, look, we suck. I'm going to throw a bunch of interceptions on purpose.
At one point, the Patriots and the Chiefs, I think, both had losing records 6 weeks ago.
Right.
And now it's like that's what the AFC Championship
is. See, I don't know about you guys, but I've been watching a lot of Baltimore, and I was convinced of it before they played the Pittsburgh Steelers. That there was just too many issues, and they were a basket case.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust Lamar Jackson at all, Right. Another interception thrown in the direction of Mark Andrews. Another interception.
What about that 2-point conversion? You put that on Andrews?
I
or Lamar?
Put it on both of them.
Oh,
I do.
Come
I
on.
Thought
pick a lane.
No, I put it on Mark Andrews. I feel like he kind of stopped running. And it felt like he had a drop earlier in the game. Yeah. He had two other times where he tried to catch it with one hand where he should have used two. So I thought he was off to begin with.
That was completely on him.
Okay, so I thought it was on him. I thought it wasn't an easy catch. He throws a tough ball anyways, but anyone should be used to it should be Mark.
Yes. Okay.
He
was wide
open. He didn't want to dive
Sprincho,
for it.
No,
he
kind
didn't
of
even
delayed.
Need to.
Yeah.
He delayed.
Sprincho ass to the front pylon as fast as you can. Get your head around. Yeah. Don't slow down.
He had his worst game of his career.
And he kind of
he did.
He kind of was like in this gallop.
It came up Patriots.
But see, the thing about Lamar Jackson, right, and I'm not a huge Lamar Jackson fan.
No, you say build a fence, right?
Yeah,
build a fence.
But see,
he's right.
Here's the problem with Lamar Jackson is that even though he's not the most accurate passer, the other dynamic in his ability to make plays with his legs makes him such a wild card so dangerous, right? Where you don't have that element with any other quarterback besides Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray has the ability to throw the football, but his legs are like, you know, running back legs.
One of the best running backs in the league.
And so that makes him dangerous. So even though Baltimore, you might look at them and go, you can never, and I was like, Lamar Jackson's got to get better throwing the football. But I watch these games, and it's like third and six.
But their problem is they don't score a ton of points. And now Marlon Humphrey is down. I think their defense is just
much. You know who's the most sacked quarterback in the NFL right now? Lamar Jackson is the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. It's 37 sacks.
Okay.
And Brady is the least sacked quarterback. Because I saw that number, and I was like, I would think he would get out of jams more.
Well, he probably
keeps stuff alive, though. He won't throw it away.
Yeah,
and a
good disciplined team with veteran players will listen. You'll get an impact play. You'll get a big play. He's too talented.
But I wouldn't. If it was Patriots Ravens in the playoffs, I wouldn't be panicking.
Right. No, I wouldn't either. At all.
I feel like this defense.
Yeah. I feel like every team, when you think about the teams that are like in this hunt for the one seed, you got one hiccup game. Because I think...
Oh, they've all had a bad loss.
Right, no, but I mean moving forward.
Oh, you think from now to the end of the season they all have a hiccup?
Yeah, because that is interesting.
Because think
what's
about
the Patriots
this?
Hiccup game?
No. I don't know what it is.
This may be it.
But Baltimore can lose and still be in the hunt.
Yeah.
I think if you look at Kansas City's Chiefs, their schedule, they're not going to run the table. Like, I don't believe any of these teams are going to run the table.
Right.
So I think it's, you know, if you do have a hiccup, you'll be good because... as we start to move towards the end of the season, every other team is going to kind of have a hiccup. And then it becomes who has two hiccups to take themselves out of the number one seat.
Tommy Kern is a busy man. Keefe and I talked with him. You'll hear that conversation coming up in a little over 5 minutes from now. It is a special edition of NFL Sunday, getting you ready for the Patriots at the Bills on Monday Night Football at 8:20 p.m. We will get to Tommy coming up right now. Here's Shime, and he's trendy.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a special NFL Sunday on a Monday night. We're right back to it with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keith
on WEEI.
He's New England's preeminent source on everything Patriots. It's time for Tom E. Curran.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran
on WEEI?
We continue along on this special edition of NFL Sunday, getting you ready for the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. Joining us now on the Harbor One hotline of NBC Sports Boston, the busiest man today, Tom E. Curran. Tommy, good evening. And are you glad you're not in what apparently looks like a wind tunnel in the stadium in Buffalo, New York?
I always want to be on the scene. I always want to be boots on the ground. I want to be your Shelby Scott. I want to be there with the wave to crash and the wind is blowing. But since I'm not, I'm going to enjoy all the reporting from there. And I know that it's going to impact the game, but it might not impact it for the team you're thinking.
Wow.
What do you mean by that, Tom?
Well, I'm glad you asked. When you look at the Patriots over the last 4 games, only once has Mac Jones thrown the ball more than 30 times. And that was in a blowout of Tennessee. He threw it 32 times. But Buffalo, every time they've been home, excuse me, 3 of the 5 times they've played at home, they've thrown it more than 35 times. The Buffalo Bills are built to throw more than the Patriots are. So take that arrow out of their quiver, and they are more at loose ends than the Patriots will be, in my estimation.
Well, I watched the Bills game a couple weeks ago against the Colts, and that's a different story, I guess, with Jonathan Taylor and the season that he is having. But the Bills' overall team stats against the run are really strong, and yet they have had a few outliers where it looks like they can be pushed around a little bit. Where do you stand on them and their run defense?
Yeah, statistically, they're good. If you look at, as you pointed out, overall, I think they're like 6th in the league in rush defense. And the Patriots and Bills are, you know, the Bills are 2nd in the league in points allowed defensively. Patriots are 1st, and they're really narrow there. Same as in scoring offense, but it's the kind of defense the Bills play. For instance, their best front 7 player is arguably Tremaine Edmonds. He's a fast, flowing linebacker as opposed to a big pounder who's going to clog things up. So this could be one of those games where even if the Patriots are not going to be throwing it downfield, which I don't think they will be able to, most likely, have some short passing game operations. And that's plays to their strength with getting flow and using a team's aggressiveness against it.
Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston with us on this special edition of NFL Sunday. No Kyle Duggar, no problem?
It really helps not having him if Dawson Knox is on the field when you're playing in a Cyclone. I mean, Knox is, it's funny, his, the total for his yards receiving tonight is around 30. And I guess that was even presuming decent weather. I mean, he should be around 45 or 50. He is a very good receiving tight end. Most of the Patriots' attention would probably, again, the weather changes the recipe a bit, but be focused on their outside receivers, specifically Diggs. So I would think that Dawson Knox would be a featured player, but because of the wind, you're going to have a chance to have him a little bit, you know, not a negligible effect, but it'll be reduced. Plus, the Patriots are so good at that safety position that they could send Adrian Phillips there and not experience a great drop-off. So I don't think that they are significantly hurt by Duggar, as great a player as well as he has performed this year.
Does Jamie Collins, now that he's up, Tommy, in your opinion, factor in some of those tight end coverage situations?
Yeah, he could. I think he'd more be well used as a spy for Allen, just because of his size and mobility. You know, Allen's such a big guy. I don't know if you really want to have a 210 or 15-pound Adrian Phillips spying him. You'd rather have a linebacker. Jamie Collins is your fastest linebacker, so I think that that would be the guy you'd use up there. And then Phillips or McCourty or a combination of those guys, Jalen Mills chasing Donks around.
The last time the Patriots and Bills played was at the end of last year, where the Bills dominated. Josh Allen had a great game. Steph Diggs had a monster game en route to being the most productive receiver in the league last year. Does that have any kind of bearing, even if it's a mental state for going into tonight's game?
I don't think it does, because at that point, the Patriots had basically, I felt, checked out. You know, they had, this was after the loss to San Francisco, which really exposed them. It was after the loss to the Rams. So those two losses combined kind of hinted to, I think, everybody who followed the NFL that it wasn't going to happen for New England. Stephon Gilmore got hurt that day. I really felt like that was the beginning of the playing out the string portion of the 2020 program. So I don't think that has as much relevance as it normally would.
Tommy, we know the weather is bad, but the Patriots are, for this time of year, extraordinarily healthy. Is that a massive factor at this point of the season? Because I know there are those going in who question the overall talent of the Patriots as a whole. We know Mac has played very well. Is it as big an advantage as it seems to just have everybody upright and available at this point?
Yeah, I'll always go back to 2018. We can talk about the running game. We can talk about James Devlin or Sony Michel or Gronkowski or Edelman or Brady. They won that Super Bowl because they were healthy. The only guys on IR were Jeremy Hill, Isaiah Wynn, and Juwan Bentley. That's it. Patriots already have James White and Jonathan Jones on IR for this year, but they've done a good job replacing them. So, yeah, the overall health is excellent, and anytime you can get that and you're not walking around into your third guy, it's a huge advantage. I mean, even Trent Brown coming back, even though the offensive line had settled prior to him coming back, he's made a big difference since he returned. So, I mean, they're sitting down for large portions of the game, one of the best young linemen in the NFL, Mike Onwenu, because they have that much offensive line firepower. So they're operating generally, like you point out, Gresh, from a position of strength.
What do you think, Tom, tomorrow the outlook for the rest of the season would be for both a Patriots win or a Patriots loss?
Well, I think if they win, it's, you know, you have the schedule just falls perfectly for them.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bye week. Then you're going to play the Colts in Indy, and, you know, that'll be a strong challenge, just like this is going to be. But then the next time you see Buffalo, it'll be at home. Look, one way or another, the Patriots are miles ahead of where we figured they'd be. Maybe not record-wise, because I think some of us felt, okay, 11-6 or 12-5 is within reach because of their improvements. But to see them at the position they are in, in the AFC, where other teams have become so inconsistent or flawed, and the Patriots are the number one seed, that's astonishing. Even if they don't win, though, they're pretty much going to the playoffs, which still puts them well ahead of schedule.
Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston here with us on a special edition of NFL Sunday. Tommy, considering it looks like it's a quagmire up there, the wind's all over the place, it was snowing earlier, all that, what are the expectations for Mac Jones? Because it feels like it's the, well, I know the wind was blowing, but if he wasn't 21 of 30 for 205 yards and two touchdowns, then he's a loser.
The outlook to me for Jones is probably, you know, 10 for 15 for 115 yards, and you're running and punting and running and punting. I would say the total on punts, and this is a big night for Joe Cardona, it's like little things like that for Jake Bailey.
Good point.
On his punt drops, for Joe Cardona on the long snaps that are traveling 15 yards back to Bailey. He could punt it 8 or 9 times. So that is as big as the number of attempts that Mac Jones is going to have. I don't think you want to see him throwing the ball more than 20 times, 22 times, if it is as it looks like it's going to be in terms of gusty winds. You have a team with three good running backs. You have a very good defense. You have smart special teams. Play this game in the teens all day and then take a windy flight home.
Do you think the plan would be to have J.C. Jackson try to lock down Steph Diggs, or do you anticipate a lot of zone? Or, I mean, I guess maybe the weather could dictate things as well.
Yeah, I think you want to play zone because of that one thing that Belichick has mentioned in the past that makes so much sense that a lot of people don't realize. You play man against the scrambling quarterback.
Right.
That means everybody in the secondary has their back turned as they plaster their receiver and they don't see the quarterback is taken off. If you play zone, everyone's covering an area. They can put their eyes in the backfield a little bit more and be cognizant of it. So I would expect a little more zone from the Patriots. Plus with Judon and the way they get home with four guys so easily most of the year, and Buffalo is not great up front, you can afford to rush four, drop seven, and let Josh Allen think his way through it.
Looks like it's Patriots getting 2.5, maybe getting 3. Where are you going here tonight?
I would say Patriots and under.
Okay.
That's what this reporter would say if he was so inclined.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
Fair enough.
If asked,
yes.
There's the answer.
Yes.
Tommy Curran, who will be in studio all night long over at NBC Sports Boston. I figured that today would have been the perfect test of your Dr. Leonard Quaff up in Buffalo, but I guess we'll have to wait for the...
Oh, I think it's rock steady. Oh, it's cemented in there. This is not a Maury special.
It's not a Maury special. When we see Curran's wigs in his... like whenever,
jump in the pool, Curran. Yep, prove it.
Whenever it's all over with, and Curran's like 75 after the TB12 commercial's on after Red Sox baseball, it's Curran as Maury with the wigs. There we go.
Yeah, this thing's nailed on. We're good.
That's great stuff. Curran, thank you, man. We appreciate it, and enjoy tonight. We'll talk to you on Wednesday on Gresham Keith. Thank you.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're right back to NFL Sunday. It's a special NFL Sunday on a Monday night.
With Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keefe.
And if you're the Buffalo Bills, guys, understand the wind is swirling down here. It's about to knock my head off.
Booger McFarland worried about getting his head knocked off as Fourier gingerly gets his headset on.
I got him on. Look at that.
How much better was
pretty
that?
Good.
That was very good.
Good job.
I got to get earbuds.
Yep.
I got to get the single earbuds.
That would help. 6:48. It is a special edition of NFL Sunday, getting you ready for the Patriots and the Bills on Monday Night Football. NFL Sunday, sponsored by the Ketchus Law Group, where you pay nothing unless they win at KetchusLaw.com. Zuti, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And the New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. Also, your New England Kubota tractor dealers. So the inactives are out for the Buffalo Bills. No wide receiver Marquez Stevenson, nor wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie for the Bills. No fullback Reggie Gilliam, no offensive lineman Jameel Douglas, and two defensive linemen, a D-end F.A. Obata and a defensive tackle Vernon Butler. So in short, nobody important.
Nope. Their biggest injury was Tre'Davious White last week.
That's
and
right.
Out for the season. So their best corner, and again, not that their best corner has an ideal matchup against the Patriots, but still, he's one of their best defensive players, one of the better defensive players in the league. And that's why you look at the AFC, the landscape, when we're talking about it before, so many teams have had significant injuries. Patriots have had a couple of injuries, sure. And we just talked to Tom Curran. He mentioned James White and Jonathan Jones, but nothing to the extent of somebody like Tre'Davious White.
And the guys that we do know that are out for the Patriots going in, no Kyle Duggar, no Ronnie Perkins, who hasn't done anything all year long.
He's a red shirt.
So, Wiggs and Fourier, we turn to our resident tight ends. Dawson Knox supposed to be a factor in the passing game. You lose Duggar, but you get Collins Fourier. Does Jamie Collins step into some of that role of Kyle Duggar in terms of trying to man up against tight ends in certain situations?
I mean, I guess, you know, Jamie Collins always had the reputation of taking that hybrid tight end because he was big enough, fast enough, he can handle those guys.
Until it was Owen Daniels.
Yeah. Until Owen Daniels in the AFC Championship game. Beat him on a double move.
Yeah, right.
Twice. Two touchdowns.
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. Like, he's been gone for a while. Is that the matchup that you want? I mean, I still feel like there's Adrian Phillips is a guy that takes those guys.
Yeah.
But that he feels more. And even before Jamie Collins got hurt, I want to say he wasn't playing a ton.
He had that awesome highlight pick, where he jumped up when he was like at the line of scrimmage.
Well, then he went down.
He wasn't.
And let me roll a thought in here: is that if you have to put bigger people on the field because you're dealing with the Bills trying to run the ball or Josh Allen trying to run the ball, I just wonder if that is a more of a natural matchup because it allows you to at least have a bigger body out there. If they do decide to run the ball matched up against the tight end, and we know the Collins, at least in theory, Wiggs, can be competitive against a tight end blocking.
Well, I think that you have to look at the way that they're going to, you know, they're going to scheme up their defense, and we've seen them do this before when they have go against good wide receivers. Do they double that good wide receiver and say, okay, everybody else is going to have to beat us?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm the Patriots, I say, all right, I'm taking Stephon Diggs out of the game because if you look at last year's games, Stephon Diggs was the guy that really hurt you, and I'd rather a tight end have to beat me, and especially a tight end like Dawson Knox. He's a good tight end, but it's like even, you know, they let Travis Kelce a couple times make some plays because they say we're taking away Tyreek Hill. So I could see Adrian Phillips being the guy on him.
No surprises on the Patriots inactive list. Ronnie Perkins, Devin Asiasi, Jared Stidham, Yasir Durant, Sean Wade, and Jelani Tavai.
And the Patriots injury report, our NFL injury update, sponsored by Ketchus Law Group with offices across New England. Ketchus Law Group has won over $1 billion for their injured clients since 1986. At Ketchus, you pay nothing unless they win. Injured, get a free legal evaluation at KetchusLaw.com or 508-321-7000. Do we get a bunch of Mike Onwenu tonight? Six O-linemen loaded
up. He's
been the sixth who's rotating in. But I'm talking about if this wind is bad and there's snow, are we going to get maybe a heavy six O-line set with a fat body in at tight end?
I don't think you need it. What a surprise.
Just keep
what a surprise. What a surprise. I personally thought that guards or tackles that who are playing the Y position sucked at it. Like they sucked at it. They never knew how to line up. They were always way too far off the ball. The blocking schemes was a little bit more challenging for them because there was no protection from their inside and outside. I always thought they sucked at it,
right?
Personally.
And definitely nowadays with tackles, because think about when you were I was watching a couple games, and you hardly ever see tackles getting three-point stances to even run block. And now, like as a tight end, you always have to be in a three-point stance to run block. So it's completely different. and you become predictable. Like the
But if you can't throw to a back and you put in an offensive lineman and you're still blocking with those six linemen, is it that big a tell?
Well, what do you mean as far as it?
Well, because if those running back throws ain't going to be happening.
But what about the tight end throws? Then, the flats, the stick routes, and when you have a lineman in there, you can completely throw those out the window because we ain't throwing to Michael Owenu.
Well, three wides. No, you're right. But it's three wides and then put one tight end out there, one of the two, because they do rotate Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith.
So
and
it's
stuff
an interesting
like that.
Concept, Gresh. So it would be. It would just be an even set. Right? Or just be like, Hunter Henry on the right, Owenu on the left, and then Jonnu Smith would be your wing move guy, right?
So
Jacob Johnson
about,
in the backfield.
So you're talking about
a goal line.
Basically. Now right? You got no wide receivers on the field. So, I mean, when you look at that, are you saying, okay.
And then stick Richard Seymour at fullback and you got something.
Right. Are you
Where's Klucko?
Tom Ashworth.
Are you saying
Dan Klucko?
What you've seen before is like that tight end wing combination, but the tight end who would normally be, let's call him Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry, the Y tight end who'd be right next to the tackle, is now another lineman, and then that extra tight end is in the hip. I mean, yeah, you can put that in, but you're still, I would rather have Jonnu Smith than Hunter Henry. How much of run blocking are you losing with those guys versus gaining with Michael Owenu? If it's not a significant amount, because you're losing a significant amount when it comes to your passing game.
Because I want a Mike Onwenu wham play is what I really want. Well, I want that tight end backed up.
That
in,
you ain't
now,
getting. You
now,
ain't
that
getting.
Would be,
maybe,
that
maybe
would
for
be
Christmas,
something. Now, ear hole, a big D tackle.
You ain't getting that one.
Patriots offense versus the Bills defense. The Bills offense against the Patriots defense. How does it all match up? We'll get into it with our Super Bowl winning tight ends next on this special edition of NFL Sunday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.